Welcome to We Are the Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are the Watchers.
Tom, we are old and jaded now at episode 53.
I'm waving at you, doing the Queen's wave.
That's nice.
Thank you.
I've got my arms tucked behind my back like Prince Philip.
How regal.
Forgot his name for a moment there.
Prince Philip, do you think he's...
I was going to say Charles.
Sure, but he's
doesn't...
not nearly as condescending about colonies.
No, no.
I do enjoy Philip. He makes a lot of inappropriate... Oh,
it's
you're
like...
wearing pants this time.
It's a combination of just being of a certain era and also being that personality.
And being very royal.
Yeah.
All
entitled,
that combined.
Yeah.
A soup spoon. How novel. It's a spoon just for soups.
For soups. You figured it out. Welcome to We Are the Watchers. We will be talking about... Oh, I have got... Because we finally... I have locked in, penned it in, Red Dead Redemption chat.
Mm-hmm.
Followed by a quiz that has something to do with it. It's sort of themed, loosely themed. So you don't have to know too much about Red Dead Redemption, but it follows through to that. You'll have fun.
All right.
I promise. Walking Dead and The Good Place will be behind the spoiler alert.
Mm-hmm.
Heaps of news. I know you've got a lot of news.
Fair bit of news.
And a little bit of watching.
Oh.
Perfect. Let's crack into it. What have you got first up in the world of news?
The biggest news from last week, TV news, is that there was a trailer that gave us a date for April 2019, return of Game of Thrones.
Finally!
Yep. The week, the year off has I've felt it.
Yeah, it does feel like a very long time ago that we watched the dragons... lose sort of a brother.
Yeah.
And all of that.
Now he's giving them the cold shoulder.
He's giving the cold shoulder. The wall was basically pummeled into non-existence.
Yeah, what's going to happen to the Night Watch that was still up the wall?
We didn't see them die, but
we did not see Tormund die.
I'm really hoping he's still alive.
He's still alive. You can't crush the blood nut.
And need him to catch up with Brienne again and just say, right, this is what we're doing.
Yep.
And her giving up and just going, all right. So I would like those two to be alive by the end, please.
Maybe he could walk up and serenade her and say, Brienne of Tarth, I want that ass.
He would.
As classy as
he'd
get.
Would. He would do that. I'm also excited to see the smirk on Cersei's face finally go. This will be the moment. This is the season where we lose the smirk and possibly even lose the face.
Off of the head.
Yeah.
Let them eat cake.
Let them eat Cersei.
Yeah.
Lannister. So many cool things about to happen, and I still haven't gotten any further in the books. I've got three more to go. Oh, I should crack in. I've got till April, but still, they're quite thick books.
It's not going to affect this TV show.
No, it won't. Although there are still theories. People still have conspiracy theories where they believe that Lady, what's her name, Catelyn?
Stoneheart.
Yeah, will make an appearance, but... I
find it very difficult that they could shoehorn her in at this stage.
Yeah, at least give us a couple of glimpses or hints that it's going to happen somewhere.
And we've seen
the
Brotherhood of Brotherhood Without Banners and...
Yeah, 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 yeah. It's not happening.
Bedrick's with them and... Yeah.
It's not happening.
It's not happening.
That's not a watch. This is a watch. You're listening to We Are the Watchers.
I saw that they've got a new Monopoly coming out.
What sort is that?
And people are outraged. Sorry, by people I mean a few people on social media.
I think I might have seen this Monopoly.
Yeah, did it have, what was on it? There was a coffee, takeaway coffee cup. There were earbuds, blue sunglasses, and a gold participation medal. I'm talking about the Millennial.
Oh, I'm thinking of a different
game.
One.
Oh, so they really, well, it makes sense. It's coming close to Christmas. Yeah. But people apparently are getting their knickers in a knot.
Yeah.
Because this one, you don't buy houses.
Of course not.
You
buy
can't
avocado
afford it.
Toast.
Exactly. Forget real estate, the box says. You can't afford it anyway. Instead, you buy experiences like traveling, dining at vegan restaurants, sleeping on a friend's lounge, and the winning player is the one who collects the most experience.
Oh, well, the Monopoly that I saw the other day, and they had a huge stack of them, and they appeared to be flying off the shelves at good old Big W.
Yeah.
Monopoly Cheaters Edition. Cheaters. It encourages you to cheat at every opportunity. If you've got to collect $200 for pass and go, you can do a bit of sleight of hand and see if you can actually collect $300.
Get yourself $400. I'm wondering how Christmas days are going to go. So you bring out, you know, you see your Ellos, somebody gets the Cheaters Monopoly Edition.
Yep.
You have lunch and then everybody has a bit of pudding or pav, trifle, and they go, hey, Jaden, because Jaden got it. Jaden. They never call him Jay. Jaden. Bring out your present. We want to play the cheaters and then just the fights. I mean, Monopoly brings fights anyway.
But I think this is encouraging the fights, so they're going to be a lot more open. You can't be angry about things going on in that because it's
the reason, the whole point.
Yeah, so it's not like dodgy Auntie Janice who always bloody...
Oh, I'll be the banker.
Oh, look, that dice didn't quite roll properly. I'll just roll that one again. There's none of that sort of shenanigans.
Yeah.
It's all above board. That sort of behaviour is encouraged.
If you had to choose Millennial Monopoly or Cheaters Monopoly. Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
It sounds way more fun. In fact, it brings whole new style of gameplay as opposed to Millennial, which is just it's a different
setting.
Yeah.
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 Look, I like the idea of Millennial. I'm sure...
It'll be funny.
Yes, there'd be a laugh or two playing a game or two of that, but I don't know about the longevity. But cheaters, imagine getting good at cheaters.
You'd refuse to play the normal one anymore.
Or you'd just play the normal one with cheaters.
Yeah, that's true. Do you remember, I don't know, ages ago, probably in the infancy of We Are The Watchers podcast, we did a quiz about all the different sorts of monopolies there were.
Yeah.
There were so many.
And they keep pumping them out.
Because they sell.
Yeah.
If you put it out this time of year, man, you're guaranteed. Hasbro know what they're doing. Hasbro? I think it's Hasbro.
I think so.
Yeah. I always want to say Mattel, but it's definitely not. What other stories have you got?
Sure. A couple of renewals.
Ooh.
So Big Mouth is confirmed for season 3, which is the Netflix animated coming of age comedy. Very funny stuff. A lot of people, a lot of great people involved with that one, and they made a big announcement yesterday.
Cool.
S.H.I.E.L.D., Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.,
which
is getting a truncated season 6 starting hopefully in January.
Uh-huh.
Might not be till, actually, no, I think it might be summer next year, American time, which is our winter.
Mm-hmm.
That makes more sense because it's coming back.
It's a fair wait, though.
It's coming back after Avengers 4.
Right.
So they don't have to deal with the...
Yeah. That makes sense.
So we already knew that season 6 was happening, but they've confirmed that season 7 will happen the year after.
And will it be a truncated season again? Or
we don't know anything.
Okay.
Anything else at all?
Yeah.
About it, other than it's definitely coming back, and Coulson is Clark Gregg is. Does not appear to be part of the show anymore.
Interesting.
Which was a big part of the end of season 5, was the potential send-off.
Mm.
His character has died so many times, though. He died in the first Avengers film. I can think of at least twice more when he died on the show. And, you know, they mixed him with Kree alien blood, so he's got blue blood now. Or made him half robotic, so he's got robot hand.
Cyborg,
All this sort of stuff.
Blade Runner.
So I could see them finding a way to bring him back. But at the same time, he's been off filming Captain Marvel.
Mm.
And, you know, the 90s set one, and he's in that. And if they were going to do Skrulls, which are the shape changes, then there's a pretty good reason that maybe the Coulson that we saw die in the first Avengers was actually a Skrull. Maybe he was a shape-shifting alien, and the real one's going to come out of hibernation on a ship.
So you're going to say on a deserted island somewhere.
It's funny you say that because his character went off to a deserted island at the end of season 5.
Right.
But we don't know if he really did because I think he had some sort of tumor or something, so it might have been
a
weird...
It's not a tumor.
Well, it might have been a weird dream sequence as he died on a table.
Oh, it's... so convoluted and confusing.
Yes.
I'm only barely holding on to any understanding.
Well, he was given a phrase, which is Tahiti, it's a beautiful place, which was part of his programming. Whenever someone says Tahiti, then his mind instantly eases and it takes him back to this conditional programming that he was put through.
So it's almost like in The Good Place, Janet, where they reboot her.
Yes. Okay. So be interesting to see what happens there, but that's quite a bold plan from ABC to call it out an extra year in advance, especially with Disney Play launching and Disney having their own Marvel shows. And
do you wonder, that they're doing that and also they kind of are banking on the fact that with whatever explanation or continuation of the story that we'll get in Captain Marvel, that there'll be renewed hype.
Yes, very much so, because Captain Marvel's going to be dealing a lot with the early days of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Take a lock it in.
More nitpicky than Sheldon Cooper. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I saw another story very early about planning and deals. Amazon Studios have got a first look packed with Animal Pictures. Now, this is a newly formed production company that Maya Rudolph and Natasha Lyonne.
Sure.
I think it's just that from the article that I read, it seemed like it was just the two of them. Now, the agreement has them. They've got to develop an original series for Amazon. And now, I believe that Maya Rudolph has already done a little bit with Amazon streaming, but Natasha hasn't, because she's been busy on Orange is the New Black. Now, seeing they've only got one season left, she's obviously throwing in a new direction.
You all got any work? Sniffing somewhere out? Yeah.
Exactly. Maya Rudolph is everyone's favourite.
We've got a lot of time.
People like her.
I still think of Natasha Lyonne from American Pie.
Yeah, I know her from that. I know her from her troubled past. And I know her from Orange is the New Black. So I wonder what sort of direction. Will she be in front of the camera, or will she decide to step back and take a more sort of directorial approach? Because I believe that she has done a little bit of directing in this latest final season of Orange is the New Black. Or will be. I don't know if they've started filming it yet.
Well done, ladies.
Yes, lady. Girl power.
Yeah, doing it for themselves.
You know, I reckon they saw that the Spice Girls were reuniting for money. I mean, tours. Mm. And they've gone, oh, girl power.
Yep.
Get into it again.
They should call up Amy Schumer. But I think she's busy. She had a rough week.
Yeah, she's been a bit sick.
Yeah.
Being pregnant. Full on. Yeah, full on pregnant and full on morning sickness.
She should do a sequel to I Feel Pretty called I Feel Pregnant.
Yeah.
See how that goes.
Wouldn't be surprised if she does. Yeah. What other news stories have you seen floating around?
Well, Halloween's done. Mm-hmm. Thanksgiving done is happening.
Ooh, it's close.
And that means holiday specials. So I've got some holiday special listings of things that are happening over that Christmas break, a few to get excited about.
All right, so can you sort of sprinkle throughout the ones that you're super excited and the ones that you're like, yeah, I'll give it a go.
Sure. All right. So super excited. Mm. I've talked about it before. Timeless is getting a 2-hour wrap-up movie. They've announced that it's going to be December 20, and it's a Christmas special.
Are you happy with that?
I don't know.
I ask that because your facial expression gave mixed feelings.
I'm happy for the timing of it,
yep.
And they could tie it in, but I don't want it to be some dumb saccharine type.
Because you always have to worry about, I mean, I'm bang up for a good Christmas special.
Christmas specials never have stakes.
Yeah.
Because they have to end on a happy note.
They're very much one-off, yeah.
Have to be about family coming back together and all this sort of stuff. Mm. So, Timeless, that's cool. Doctor Who always gets a Christmas special. Not this year.
Hmm?
Uh-huh. They need a New Year's Day special.
I'm okay with that.
Yep. The writers have basically come out and gone, we've been doing this for a long time. We've done every Christmas special story there is. We've done ones that you shouldn't have done. We're not happy with the last two we've done, we're not going to do Christmas special this year, New Year special.
And now that, you know, new doctor, time to make something new anyway.
Yeah, which is, look, I understand that. That's a fair call from a narrative perspective, but it does bum me out because I always enjoyed getting up early on Boxing Day to watch the Christmas special.
Everybody's got their own Boxing Day tradition.
Yeah.
They really do.
Yeah. And the other one, which this could go either way. It sounds like it could be potentially pretty cheesy.
Uh-oh.
It's called A Legendary Christmas with John and Chrissy.
Hang on, who's John and Chrissy?
Well, John Legend and Chrissy Teigen
are
putting together a Christmas special of songs from his new album. I imagine there'll be a lot of sitting around a piano.
There's going to be a lot of sitting around. You'll probably see a child or two.
She'll be dressed inappropriately.
Oh, for sure.
There'll be nog.
Yes.
Eggnog. Sorry. American listeners, eggnog is a thing that we don't do nearly as much here. You can get it for Christmas, but it's hot here. Mm. Why would you want to drink?
No, I want to drink it.
Weird egg milk.
See, I consider, like, if I was going to have a hot festive beverage, I'd probably do something like a mulled wine.
That's what I was going to say, mulled wine. It's great.
It's warm. So delicious.
It's hot here. It's really hot at Christmas. So you want a nice cold drink, green cordial.
People go cocktails.
Yeah, cocktails are all right. Or a nice cold beer.
Yeah, beer's very popular.
Eggnog. I don't get it.
It just sounds weird. Can I have egg, milk, is it brandy or something?
I don't know.
And spices.
No, thanks.
I don't want it. So here's your eggnog.
There's some Christmas stuff to get excited for. You know, it's still, 5 weeks away or something.
Oh, there'll
like
be
that.
A lot more.
It's going to roll around pretty quick.
A lot more.
I'm sure there'll be some sort of giggle and hoot Christmas adventure for all you ABC for Kids fans here in Australia.
And there'll be some sort of Big Bang Theory special for those people. Connors will do it. You know, like all the sitcoms.
Yeah.
They love it. They love
it. They trot out a bit of that.
Yeah.
And the Grinch, the new version, is coming out at the cinema.
Yep.
Shay is particularly excited for that one.
Oh, it'll be huge, I reckon.
I think so, because the first Grinch is the most successful Christmas film ever or something.
Is it really? It's not one
of my
favourites.
I might be
talking
out my ass, but it did really well for what it was.
I liked it. That was
Jim
from about 2000, I think.
Yeah, it was way back.
So it was before Elf,
yeah,
but well after Christmas Vacation. They're my two favourites.
Christmas Vacation is so strong.
I can't go past it.
The
if I'm going to watch a Christmas movie, if I've only got time for one, I'm going to pick that.
I love the, say the blessing. The blessing. Grace! Grace!
She died 30 years ago.
Yeah.
So many classic lines from it.
Johnny Galecki.
But, very young.
Juliette Lewis.
Yeah, Juliette Lewis. She's an amazing teenager in that.
It's one of the last films before Randy Quaid went full Randy Quaid.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say that's probably prime Andy Quaid.
Yeah.
Now, is he really the brother of Dennis?
Yes.
So they are brothers.
Yes, but Randy is crazy.
Last time I heard from Randy, it sounds like, we keep in contact, but last I heard of him, he'd gone to Canada with his lady friend.
Yes, and they were living in a cabin going rogue. He had a big long beard and they were kind of on the lam.
Should we just assume that that's where they still are?
Guys, can anyone check in on Randy?
If you could. If you're from Canada, can you just, I don't know, go out your backyard and
maybe that's where
shout
they were,
Randy?
Who they were really looking for on Good Place.
Oh.
Heading out to Calgary to find Randy Quaid. Because that is an exemplar of humanity.
I really want that to be an episode now. I'm disappointed.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
Any other newsy stories?
Sure, a few quick ones that I'll get through. So Disneyland pulled the curtain up this week. They had their Destination D23 event, which is where they, it's their Comic-Con or whatever, and they reveal what's coming. They showed off some of their first footage of Galaxy's Edge, which is the Star Wars land, and officially titled a few of the rides and revealed exactly what they are, and someone got a looky-loo at the hotel plans.
Ooh.
So there is one ride that is a Millennium Falcon simulator where you and a few people have to work together flying the plane.
Oh, it's multiplayer.
I don't know what that means if you get some dickhead friend you don't know in your group who's shit at being a gunner.
Potentially.
And ruins it for everyone.
And someone who wants to cosplay so much that they won't actually speak to you, they'll just Wookiee.
What's that? Left. Okay.
Port. Can't we just say left?
So that looks to be, you sit in, a couple of you in a pod and you fly together.
Fun.
Yes.
Oh, man, that's fun.
The other one, which is in Disney terms, e-ticket, is their biggest rides. It's their big,
right,
fancy, ticket sellers.
Yeah.
As you get people in on e-tickets, is a first order battle. So you will be in little pods. And I can't quite think of how to describe them, but I've been on these rides. They have them at Hong Kong Disneyland for Mystic Manor, which is the version there of Haunted Mansion.
Okay.
And they're like these little buggies that you sit in that aren't on any tracks, and there's magnets underneath, and there's programmed floor
plans. So you're
moving
around?
So you're completely moving around, and it feels completely freeform, and they're reactive. So if another one moves in the way, your cart will automatically move out of the way.
Jeez, they sound clever.
They're very clever, and it means that you don't have the exact same experience every time. So it's going to be that sort of tracking, apparently across a few levels. Like at points you will have to get out and run and shoot, go up level and hop in another one of these things to continue on. But you're going to be involved in a very large battle.
I wonder who you're fighting.
Well, I believe you're fighting against the First Order. So it is the stormtroopers, not the OG stormtroopers that we know from the original films, but that means that they can get in Kylo Ren and General Hux and the bad guys from this current iteration trilogy.
I would like to play that game. Well, go on that ride.
It sounds pretty cool. Yeah. They've also said all throughout the land, everything is interactive, and sort of when you walk in and sign up, you get assigned good or bad, and
Cool. Your
actions on the rides have an effect on how you're viewed by people within the land.
This is very next level. This is not just sit on a roller coaster and go for the ride. Like, you are actually taking part in these.
Well, here's the next best part, this hotel.
Mm.
When you arrive, you park outside and you go through a shuttle. You've got to take a pod that takes you to the hotel. And then in the hotel, there's no windows. They're all screens.
Right.
So once you're inside the hotel, you're on a spaceship.
Cool.
Including all the rooms.
Do they have like the little, you know, the little toasters that go around?
That was in the video.
Yes.
One of those mouse toaster.
Yes. Yeah.
Backing up. And the hotel itself has an area called the brig. So presumably if you're a bad guy that gets caught by hotel staff, you could be thrown in the brig. There's a Jedi training temple.
They're the cheapest rooms.
I know. Jedi training temple.
Cool.
All these sorts of very cool interactive experiences. But that hotel connects directly to Galaxy's Edge, to this land.
Mm.
And apparently you can just go and spend all day there and be part of the interactive stories, earn points, and become more notorious. I think there's going to be an element that if you become notorious, you could be hunted by other guests. Not just the staff.
So you don't just go back to the hotel to sleep. You go back and you continue
your story.
Oh!
Yep. It's the potential to just take the immersion of Harry Potter, Hogsmeade and stuff at Universal to the next level of interactivity.
It's got me smiling just thinking about
it. It's going to be pretty good. So I will continue to stay with my ear very close to the ground.
Yeah, anything else you find, any little tidbits, that'd be awesome.
We'll be sharing those across. Oh, and in news that I don't really give much of a shit about, but hopefully it means he'll get back to doing something I am, James Cameron is very excited because Avatar sequels 2 and 3 have wrapped principal photography production.
I remember they were going to be a thing. Completely forgot.
Well, he's done 2 and 3 back to back. He keeps threatening that he's going to do 4 and 5 as well. James, you're getting old.
Yeah, let's just...
There's things I'd rather see you do.
See how this goes.
Just hop in under the boat, get a submarine, go to the bottom of the ocean, have a think about what you've done. I don't want to see Avatar forever.
Go and talk to Arnie. No, I was going to say go and talk to Linda Arnie. Hamilton, but they used to be married. Probably don't speak to her. She was in the last movie.
She was married to James Cameron James Cameron was married to her and Catherine Bigelow. Is that right?
What, is Catherine Bigelow related to Deuce Bigelow?
Probably. Catherine Bigelow directed The Hurt Locker.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
didn't
other
she
things.
Win an Oscar?
Yeah.
Was it for that? I think it was a later movie. Yeah, I'm out of my depths right now. But yeah, married to... Yeah, he's been with... powerful women or women with powerful arms. Same thing, really.
But, yeah, there we go. Consider yourself
Avatar.
Warned. December 20th, like December 2020 and 21, Avatar's going to be effing up your S.
We've all got that friend or relative who is going to insist you go along to some 3D viewing of it.
Why you'd see that movie not in 3D, I don't know. That first one was a roller coaster ride. It was good fun in a cinema. Not a good film. I will fight anyone who tries to tell me differently.
Do you reckon these two will be just as long? I do.
Yep.
I didn't mind the movie. Don't get me wrong. It was fine.
He's making a big song and dance out of how much underwater this next one's going to be. Either 2 or 3.
Okay. So...
He's like, I took you to a different planet and opened your eyes there. I've shown you under the sea... In reality, I'm going to fuse the two for these next Avatar films.
I feel like we should be saying your thank you, and he says you're welcome. Like, you're like, welcome.
I feel like someone should be calling James a cab. Mate, you've had enough. Go home and sleep it off. 10 years he's committed to these two sequels.
So when was the first movie? About 2008 or 2009?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
And he's been slowly and steadily working on them ever since.
Yeah. He's been producing on stuff, so he's got Battle Attila and stuff coming next year.
I mean, don't get me wrong, the movie was huge. It was a huge movie.
The biggest movie ever.
Yeah.
Bigger than Titanic.
But
was it good? No.
Do people?
No, it was
do
not.
Do people still talk about it like other movies that were huge?
The only discussion around Avatar has been when Avatar World opened at, like, Pandora opened at Disney World.
Hmm.
Other than that, no one's clamoring for more blue-skinned adventures.
You don't. You when you think about Sigourney Weaver, you don't think, oh, Avatar.
And spoilers, she's dead.
Oh, I can't believe the movie's so
she's,
only.
She's going to be a tree spirit.
Yes.
Or something. Stephen Lang, who was the bad guy in the first one, dead. He's going to be the bad guy for the rest of them as well. Maybe he gets infused into a rock. I don't know. What are the rules of Avatar? They're not quite clear.
No, so there could easily be a time traveller.
Yeah.
Or at least a time travelling car.
Mm, a DeLorean.
Underwater submarine.
Well, it's a perfect planet for it. They don't need roads.
It's true.
And I don't ever want to jam my ponytail into a flying pteranodon tail fusion thing.
No, I just want to go back and stay at that Star Wars hotel.
Sorry, I could speak for an hour about how angry Avatar leaves me. That's why I left it to the end of this pile.
Yeah, fair enough.
Showing, Shibby, and somebody stop me. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Well, let's get out of it and start talking about some stuff that we have been watching.
Yes. Like what? What have
I've
you
watched a couple of different sorts of things. I watched ABC's Don't Stop the Music with Guy Sebastian in it, where he goes to a school in Western Australia, a Chalice School. It's a primary school that is, it looks big. It looks like a huge school, but I think they used the term underprivileged a couple of times. But what they were mainly focusing on was the fact that they didn't have much of a music department or even much music in any of the classes at all.
Sure.
Not many musical instruments. And he sort of is one of the people that goes in and teaches kids music, singing and guitar. They've got other guitar teachers who come in. They had a university orchestra come in, but the principal kept it a secret from the kids. And, do you remember the, excuse his interruption, staff and girls or boys, depending on what school you're in, will all students please make their way to wherever?
Sure.
And it was a big hall, and they went in there, and suddenly the orchestra just started, and the kids got to stand all around. Like, they didn't have to sort of be polite audience. They got to go in, be right next to the violin players and everything. It was really cool, and it must have been an amazing moment for them, mainly because they're out of class, right? But still, they then get the Salvation Army band in, or members from it. Then they've source-donated brass instruments, and kids get allocated brass instruments, violins, like all this amazing, hugely amazing pile of instruments get donated to this school, and they're going to start this big music band and course. And it's because they believe that learning music then helps kids to learn just in general.
Sure, definitely.
Which I agree with. Yeah. I mean, when you're playing music, if you're playing the piano, for example, if you're naturally left-handed, well, suddenly your right hand has to take control, because that's where the melody lies. So then you're learning. Your brain is being rewired through music, or learning music, how to be almost ambidextrous to a point, to a certain extent. But there's a lot going on when you're doing
orchestras
music.
Orchestras are fantastic because they teach you teamwork. You can't accomplish anything
absolutely
with orchestral music unless you're all playing together.
It's a great show. I think it was like an hour long. I watched it on iView, and it held me the whole time, and I'm not a teacher.
Nice.
And I'm going to watch next week's as well, just because you start to get, some of the kids, you're like, oh, I really want to see how this guy who suddenly has this love for guitar all of a sudden, how he's going to end up.
Sure. Do you ever have any people come in and perform at school when you were there?
Oh, yeah.
Do you ever have any of them backfire?
Not that I recall. I just remember thinking it was really good that we weren't in class. But you'd always get, like, the Peruvian pipe players.
Yeah, we had a guy and two women come in and do interpretive dance to Enya.
Oh,
and
no.
Now I hate interpretive dance.
Because interpretive dance should be hilarious.
This was not. This is just painful.
Oh, no.
And
Enya too. Like, what year
Sail
is
Away?
That?
Oh, this would have been 95,
no,
96.
It's far too late for Enya.
There was a bit, I can vividly remember this guy, like, mock paddling Sail Away.
Oh, please tell me he wasn't in a full leotard. Please, please don't.
I think he was. Oh, I know there was a beret.
Of course, there was a beret. Oh my goodness, you poor thing! And you had to pay for that too.
I don't know if I did, but it came out of
school
money.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Those things can be very hit and miss. So I reckon Guy Sebastian would be a great ambassador for that sort of stuff.
Really good. And also, he started out as a music teacher. Yeah. So.
And he knows a thing or two about thieving because he stole American Idol from Nolsey. Still bitter about that.
What about me? Yeah. Nolsey's still saying that.
It's not fair.
I was indifferent, to be honest with you. Didn't mind who won.
Yeah.
They're still doing stuff. Nolsey's still around, isn't he?
Nolsey's
to a lesser extent.
Oh, he's very memey.
Yeah, he is memey. You're right.
He pops up in the memes a lot.
In fact,
hey, Cobber.
I have.
Listeners, if you ever want a really great laugh, if anything got you down, jump on Shannon Knoll, spelled N-O-L-L, on his Facebook page. This is especially for our international listeners. He is a guy that came second in the first Australian Idol. Ever since that time, he has been a bit of a joke. People, he's very, very Aussie.
Very larrikin.
So
almost Paul Hogan, almost.
The comments on his photos and things that he posts from people are amazing because there's a meme format that's sprung up around commenting on Shannon Knoll's stuff.
But he gets into it too.
He loves it. Yeah. But it's always, hey, Cobber, I bet that's not the first time you've blanked her blank or something like that. Just pulling your undies while I've got you for a second. The missus is after whatever thing you think Shannon Knoll took of yours. If you can shoot that back, she'll be off my case. Cheers. Hooroo. Righto. See you, buddy. Hooroo.
Hooroo.
Ta-ta.
Yeah.
It's wonderful stuff. It's great content.
Yeah, if you need any sort of insight into how Australians make jokes on the internet, that's where. And it's been going on for years on his page. Yeah.
Years.
Check in every once in a while. It doesn't matter if you're in Sweden or the US, just go and have a look. You'll definitely be amused.
Yes.
If not, we're going to frown at you.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
What did you watch this week that you were impressed with?
So, I know I've talked about it a few times, but South Park this season is really impressing me.
I remember while you were away, Ando came in and sat in the Tom seat and was equally as impressed.
So the last few seasons, they've been messing with their format and trying different things. And I was wondering what this year's was going to be because I think I told you they had that campaign of hashtag cancel South Park before the season started. Mm. Well, every episode this year, they've brought back a character from their early seasons that was a silly throwaway thing of the time. And they've recontextualized it in today's society and today's PC 2018 bullshit and just made all these characters grow the fuck up.
Do you also, does it also make you be, as an audience member, far more aware of how ridiculous PC has moved? Because obviously we know that PC has taken over, but
they really highlight it. Yeah. So they bring back Mr. Hanky the Christmas poo who gets in trouble for tweeting whilst on Ambien and this sort of stuff. The last two episodes have been about bringing back Al Gore. Now, there was an episode from, I want to say, late 90s, early 2000s with Al Gore.
So it was around
Al Gore
the time
talked like this, and guys, we've got to get super ethereal about and
Planet Earth or something. Was it then, or was it around his presidential?
It was, but it was all about Man Bear Pig because he was convinced there was a Sasquatch Bigfoot style creature killing people that was a fusion of man, bear, and pig. Well, the last two episodes have all been vindicating Al Gore because Man Bear Pig is a real thing, and it's all a very thinly veiled, you know, statement about climate change.
Yeah, yeah.
But then it somehow deconstructs into this weird take on Stephen King's
warps into that.
Of Man Bear Pig, like climate change became a thing that the children of the town 50 years ago made a deal with.
Oh, no.
So it becomes like it, of like the children made a deal and all. Like, it's very, very clever.
And all condensed into a 30-minute episode.
22-minute episode, yeah. So there's been two parts to that one.
That's impressive.
And there's, I think, three more episodes this season. They need Mr. Hanky to come back and finish off that storyline. Tally, the stoned towel, has come back. Don't forget to bring a towel. it's very, very clever. Like, it's after doing a few seasons of serialized storytelling where all the episodes bled into each other and you needed to watch all of them, this season felt a lot more like they were going back to basics with silly standalone episodes, but there are elements tying them all together. So there was an episode earlier this season about school shootings. Mm. Most of the episodes this year have started with the school being shot up and then the camera transferring somewhere else to follow a story a different more place. Important.
So it all starts from the one point. Okay, interesting.
So it'll be interesting to see how that all ties back together at the end.
Because obviously it will. Oh, you don't, you're not convinced?
Nah, sometimes they just do throw away stuff like that.
Fair enough.
The other part that I think you'll enjoy is that they've been so fixated on Red Dead Redemption. Yep. To like the chief of police has stopped doing his job properly
because he's busy playing Red Dead. To see if it was any other TV show, like, you know, animated, you would think, but how have they done that? Because Red Dead's only been out for a few weeks now, but they've
got references and stuff like that I haven't
they
got
go
to
full do. On though, don't they?
They've there's discussing stuff in there you've got to play for 60 plus hours to have hit yet.
Okay. And they start production of an episode 6 days before it goes to air.
Yep. So it airs Wednesday night, they take Thursday off, and then they work till it's
unbelievable.
On. But they only do 10 episodes a year.
Look, if it's any time to jump back into South Park, this season sounds like
it's been pretty good.
A pretty good one.
Yeah.
What else have you watched?
So Lethal Weapon had a bit of a reboot this year. I think we've talked about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's got Stifler.
Yes, who is great.
What's his name? Scott.
Sean William Scott.
I knew there was a Scott in there somewhere.
So he's doing really well, and the character is very interesting, so much so that they've really pushed Damon Wayans down.
Really?
And there's been a big stink and a spit of... I don't know if it's a dummy spit or what, but he said that he's leaving the show at mid-season.
Now, how many episodes will that have?
13.
So he's been in it for 13, he can't take it.
See, so that's not Stifler. This is Damon.
Damon.
Who was the one that had the big stink that got...
The first guy.
Yes.
Taken out. Interesting.
So whether the show will live on past that, I don't know. I would have said no a few weeks ago, but like the show's put so much emphasis on Stifler that like he's really good, and I'm quite enjoying what his storyline's doing. Like he's a dude with a very, very checkered past. He's worked as a CIA operative for years and done some truly awful things in the name of Queen and Country, but he's trying to redeem all that sort of stuff now and be, you know, return to his family, return to civilization. This was, I don't know, it's
so it's almost a coming home, as in coming back to normalcy.
Yeah.
Or a form of normalcy.
And it's using a lot of the elements of Mel Gibson's character in the Lethal Weapon films that weren't used for the other guy on Lethal Weapon. It's almost like they split Mel's character and the first guy took what he wanted of the absolute rogue maniac suicidal part and he lent into that side, whereas this guy's lent into the atonement side.
Very clever.
Yeah.
Do you think, now I'm just throwing this idea out there, do you think it would work to, if Damon does leave, bring original bloke in? What was his name again? Can't remember.
Clayne Crawford.
And have them... The two forms of Mel Gibson, yin and yang, play offside each other. Could it work?
Lots of people say that they would love it. Other good dude died on camera.
Right.
So trying to bring him back is going to be very difficult.
Yeah, okay.
And he's also gone out of his way to kind of burn that bridge.
Right, okay.
He has talked some shit around about the producers and people and stuff. So I don't see that happening. They could reformat the show again. They could
move there are only, what, two seasons in now?
This is season three.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, they've had enough of huge changes that they could make changes a regular.
Yes.
That's a good place, you know, just keep resetting it.
They've shown that the show can definitely weather those sorts of changes and stuff. It's very odd. That's a lot of turmoil. And...
But it's still watchable.
Well, it's very watchable. Most shows that have just put the bullet in the show and gone, look, this is too much work.
Yeah.
But this show apparently is massive overseas.
Cool.
Very big international markets. Mm-hmm. So it's just a license to print money. And I don't think it really matters who is on the poster as long as one of them's a big name.
Yeah.
And now they've got Stifler.
They're happy.
Yeah. So it wouldn't surprise me if we learned that Damon clearly doesn't want to be on the show anymore, whereas they've brought in Stifler and Stifler's loving it, so they're giving him more and more work, and maybe Damon's just gone, well, screw you.
You obviously don't.
I'm going to kick over the Monopoly board and leave.
Yeah, the Cheaters Monopoly board and get out of there.
Mm, who knows?
I watched a few things this week, but I think they can probably hang off because I do want to get into some Red Dead talk.
Ooh.
because I've now had it for a few weeks, yes. as I'm sure most people have. And I got it probably a few days after everybody else, when I started to hear proper reviews, not only from video game journalists or on-screen talent, but also people as well, just normal people yep. who are watching it, playing it, I should say. And the initial one was, oh, yeah, no, like, it's great, it's a work of art, but I've got these problems with it. And they would sort of tout these problems, but then they would go, oh, but I really like it because it's this, this, and this. And I want to talk about hype.
Sure.
A little bit, because in the lead up to Red Dead, and I'm talking like the year or so that we've known that it was existing, you would hear people talk about it in terms of, oh, well, when it's released, all other games are going to get dwarfed by it. When it's released, it's going to win Game of the Year, all of the awards, it's going to sweep everything. It's going to be the best game that we've all ever experienced ever. So the hype was ridiculous. Sure. How can a game live up to that?
Yeah.
So when it suddenly was a game that was slower, people had been playing, like, well, think about what the popular games were just before, right? So you had Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which is huge, and I guess similar in terms of open world, but, you know, it had a little bit more pace.
Yeah.
You had the Battlefields, Battle Royales, yeah.
Spider.
Like Spider-Man, Fortnite, Black
Call
Ops
Duty,
4,
yeah.
Like all of these games were fast-paced. And
they're about rewarding you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and this one is like Red Dead Redemption, because it's Red Dead Redemption 2, where you have to get to the other side of the map, but you can't really fast travel, really. I mean, you could get on a stagecoach or a train.
It's just cinematic mode.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you're normally just going to get on your horse and hope that you don't accidentally ride it off a cliff.
Yes.
So I think people's expectations of what it was going to be were marred not only by
sure.
by their expectations, but also the pace of games that had come just before it.
Yep.
So people were complaining about how slow it was and how they had to do stuff. I had to feed my character. You know, that kind of thing. I have to have a bath every now and then.
I have to do the full animations to open a drawer,
I know.
Find something, put it in my pocket,
but
close
see,
the drawer.
I'd just been playing Dying Light, where you had to
sure,
do the exact
okay.
same thing, and there's no fast travel there. You have to, if you want to go to one side of the map, you have to parkour across all these zombies. So for me, it was like, oh, this is a pace that I expected. And also because I heard it was so slow, it didn't bother me because I knew, because people had said it was slow. So it's all about perception going into a game, I think.
Was I one of the ones telling you how slow it was?
You said something about, oh, there's a lot of having to be an adult.
Yeah.
And I totally understand what you mean with that.
I don't know if it's fun.
That's what people were saying. They're
I,
like,
don't
I don't
find
know if
it
it's fun.
Fun. I don't find it fun. I mean, I took the day off work and played it for 24 hours straight or something
yeah,
when it first came out.
Yeah, you went full on.
And I enjoyed it, but it wasn't fun.
Mm.
I barely touched it since.
See,
I've gone back for Spider-Man DLC.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. And that's what I want from a game, something I could sit down and play for 20 to 30 minutes, scratch the itch, and then move away from. I'm not of the mindset to be able to commit to a 100-hour-plus game
yep.
anymore.
And that's what
and
this is.
I forgot that going into Red Dead, and I was
this
so excited for it. And I played that long, and like after 24 hours sort of thing, the chapter two screen came
yeah.
up. And I was like,
how many chapters?
I'm done with this. I logged on to, you know, for 45 minutes one day, and I had enough time to like brush my teeth, wash my horse, feed myself, ride into town for a shower, and then, oh.
Yeah, I've got to go now.
Right,
I've got to be an adult in real life
I'll
now.
I'll pause, turn this off, so when I log in I can do all that again
yeah.
and then start playing.
Yeah.
And like, I appreciate that. And for 10 years ago, I would have loved this game to be able to sit down every night and play 2 to 3 hours and live a real life within that world.
Mm-hmm.
It's the most beautiful world I've ever seen.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
It's gorgeous, but I'm not in that gaming mindset anymore. And that saddened me. It was me, not the game.
Yeah. I completely understand. See, for me, when I think back to games that I have really enjoyed over the past few years, it's been The Witcher.
Sure. Yeah, you like a long game.
I like a long game. I really got into Skyrim, and that's just most, I mean, I did a fair bit of fast traveling through that, but that's all slow, long stuff.
Sure.
Don't get me wrong. I went through my phase where I, you know, a bit of COD's fine, play two games of that, you've clocked up no more than 20 minutes, but you feel like you've played enough.
Yep.
You can go on and do other stuff. The Battle Royale thing, it's not really me. I want it to be me, but it's not really. It's like all the collecting of an open world, but
sure.
then suddenly you lose it all. You have to start again.
Yeah.
I can't be bothered with it.
Yeah, I did. I played DayZ and those sorts of games back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not anymore.
No, it's too much. So, yeah, I think maybe people did get into the swing, get it, of games like Spider-Man, where it was such a great game. Well, it still is such a great game. Everybody who played it and enjoyed just, the hell out of it.
And you unlocked a new suit every hour or something. Do you know, like you felt that sense of accomplishment?
Exactly, and the DLC was close enough to when it was released that you could jump back in and remember how to play.
Yep.
You didn't lose, like the pacing even of the DLC is fast and happy and enough.
Red Dead, is it in contention for Game of the Year for you?
Yeah, definitely. In terms of games that I have played that came out this year, yep. I know a lot of people really loved God of War. Don't get me wrong, I thought it was amazing. But there was something about it that just didn't quite connect with me.
Sure.
I think it might have been because I had just played or you know, had recently had played one of the newer Tomb Raiders.
Sure.
Which is sort of similar in that that's the style, that's the genre of the game. You go from one part to another and you fight and stuff. And that I think that was still in my mind. Once again, those leftover perceptions of other games that you've played and you go into another one and you can't shake the previous game from you. But I think in terms of what I enjoyed playing, I probably have enjoyed my moments with Red Dead more
sure.
than God of War. But I played Horizon Zero Dawn this year, which I know is last year, but that game was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I played every part of that. I completed everything in that game because I wanted to. And that story, the storyline had me where Red Dead, I don't really care about Dutch.
Sure.
Every time I walk past him at the camp, I don't want to hear what he says. Yeah, exactly. I'd rather go to that Lady Tilly who just sort of goes, mm-hmm. And then walks off. I'm more interested in what she has to say. If Dutch starts one of his mind, it's almost like he's brainwashing. I don't want to be a part of it.
Mm.
Go away, Dutch. Mm-hmm. As Tilly would say.
Hey, Mary. Something about that makes me think it's not actually hair gel. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
All right, what have you watched this week? Something else, a bit of a palate cleanser before we get into Walking Dead and
Two
stuff.
Two things I'll go through quick. One is a sketch show called Baroness Von Sketch.
What an amazing name.
I think you'd be well into it. It's very fun. It's four very funny females sketch show.
Already something I want to be a part of.
There you go. This is season three that's just kicked off.
Where's it from? Is it American or English?
It is American, but I think it might be an American-English co-production.
Nice. Because there are both worlds.
There are American actresses in it that you've seen on British television and vice versa.
Yeah, they're kind of like your John Hamms.
Yeah.
He's always in English stuff.
But yeah, it's very funny.
Cool.
So I saw premiere of season three and back at it
again. Away?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Very good. And the other one I watched was like 2-hour commitment called Top 10 Deadliest Animals. And I thought they were going to be today animals, but not as animals from whenever and wherever against each other. Not against each other, but like stacking up.
Yeah. So there was they're talking stats, man.
A primordial scorpion, sea scorpion from before things were walking on land.
A sea scorpion.
Yeah, it grew about 3 feet.
Holy cow.
Yeah. And probably had metal in its pincers and its stinger. That helped weigh it down in the water, but also made its toxin more effective.
Awesome.
So there's a bit of that. There's giant moa birds, M-O-A. Did they go,
so where was moa bird from?
Moa, I think it was around, like, Pangaea.
Okay.
So back in the day.
Yep.
And, like, just giant birds.
Cool.
Size of a giraffe.
Holy cow.
Proper talons on the foot. Basically, imagine a really fucked up, angry big bird. And you're on the right path.
Right.
So a bit of that and like Komodo dragons the size of a bus. Number one was the Megalodon.
Mm-hmm.
Got to watch out for them giant sharks.
Yeah, you sure do.
T-Rex, number two. Well, technically theropod dinosaurs, so two-legged.
Okay. Yeah, stand up, stupid little arms.
Yep.
Yeah.
A lot of that action at the top end of the charts.
Sounds cool. It sounds like there are animals in there that you expect to see, but also some that you'd never heard of before. Yeah. So you're learning.
So there was Smilodon. Was there a saber-toothed cat? No, there was not. It was Smilodon.
So Smilodon is a saber-toothed cat?
Yeah.
So if He-Man was a real person,
yeah,
he would have had Smilodon?
Yeah.
Hmm. So I've just learned something new.
Yeah, go. That's what I mean. So
what was it called again?
Top 10 Deadliest Animals.
Sounds very palatable.
It was quite palatable. There were ones that I thought would be in there that were not. I like, you know, there were giant snakes from the past, but there were no snakes of the present. There was no box jellyfish, man of war.
Yeah.
How do you not get that in there?
Yeah, they're the reason why some people don't even turn up to Australia to holiday.
It's just a floating pile of deadly blubber.
I don't know why it exists either. It doesn't make any sense.
Oh, get out of my goddamn water.
Do you want to have a quiz?
Yes.
Now, I did give you a few little pointers. I can't even remember if it was before we actually talked on the podcast or during it.
On podcast.
Okay, good, good. I did say it was related to Red Dead. It's quiz time, Rockstar Games. Yeah. Number five, what did Rockstar make? What game, I should say, that was based on a 1970s movie? I remember playing this. I didn't finish it. Then I went to play it again, and my PlayStation 2 game, like CD, had cracked. Couldn't play the game. Good game.
It's not Godfather.
No. I'll give you a clue. So it starred Michael Beck. Now, he was Swan in it. He also played Sonny in Xanadu, like the love interest in Xanadu.
Not L.A. Noir.
No. It was about New York gangs.
Oh, Warriors.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I played that.
Did you
that.
Play that?
Yeah.
It's a good game.
I love that movie.
I haven't watched the movie.
What?
I played the game. Well, no, I didn't. I didn't
you gotta
get
watch
to the
that
end of it.
Like, go home today and watch that
it.
Movie.
Homework. Right.
It's got so many good moments.
Come out and play.
The very, very quotable film.
Well, they used it in... I'd forgotten Rockstar did it, to be honest with you. All right.
We should do an episode where we just talk about it called We Are the Warriors.
We should have a Warriors special for everybody who love the game and or movie.
If you like it, listeners, let us know and we'll make it happen.
We want to know the watcherspodcast@gmail.com, please. Yeah. Next question. Yeah. What was the player's character? What was the character's name? So you're the player.
Yeah.
In GTA 3. Do you remember that? That was the end of their top down.
What, it was became that CJ? No.
I'll give you a clue. It was never disclosed in the game. People who decided to go searching through the data files found it.
Oh, I don't know.
Claude.
Claude.
Although, if you're American, would you pronounce it Claude?
Nah, Claude.
You just Claude. Anyway. Claude. All right, Claude. Three, how much money has GTA made Rockstar?
Five bill?
You need to reassess your situation. It's gone up since I think it was April news story. Yeah. It's gone up to $6 billion.
There you go.
Over 90 million copies of that game have been sold since it was released.
But they'd be making all that DLC money because they're constantly pumping out
heists. Online now. Yeah. All online. It's made more money than any film, book, or game ever.
Sure. That's more money than Disney paid for any of
it
the
It is.
Purchases.
Star Wars, yeah,
Star
absolutely.
Wars, Marvel. Pixar.
Did you play GTA Vice City? That was the one.
The 80s one.
Yeah.
With the coke and the helicopters.
Amazing
and stuff.
Amazing playlists. Yeah. I just spent my whole time on a motorbike. Do you remember the main character's name? This guy spoke. He actually spoke. He kind of looked like Ben Affleck to me.
Yeah, I can't remember his
Tommy.
Name.
Tommy.
Tommy.
His name was Tommy. I thought you might remember because it's sort of similar to yours. Sort of. All right, final question. Which GTA game... I think it was this year, actually, had to remove songs from its radio playlist due to copyright issues. Yeah.
Nikolai.
Mm-hmm.
Because they couldn't have all the Russian
bands
anymore.
Yeah, it was all the Russian and Ukrainian music on Vladivostok FM. But apparently they also had to take out a few from the rock station, which was, do you remember Liberty Rock?
Mm-hmm.
They had to take out stuff like Smashing Pumpkins 1979, David Bowie's Fascination, and ELO's Evil Woman, which surprised me. But they did add, they put stuff in their place.
ELO are pretty big on their proprietary content.
They got special rules.
They knock people down a lot.
Yeah, I still think some of my favourite music from games of all time are from GTA 3 and Vice City.
I agree with that. In terms of a curated soundtrack, they do it better than anyone
else. I did like The Witcher, though.
But did that have pop rock songs?
No, not at all. No, it was literally just a soundtrack.
In terms of curating, the only thing that could possibly come close would be like a Guitar Hero or a Dance Revolution.
Yeah, absolutely. And now I think about it, if you have any game after, in terms, I'm talking about GTA, if you have any games after, like around GTA 4 onwards, Red Dead wouldn't. Red Dead would just have a paid soundtrack. That would be a soundtrack that would be Red Dead's forever.
Yeah, and they got a guy to do pastiches and homage to ye olde.
If you have a PlayStation 2 Rockstar game, maybe the only one that you can be guaranteed the playlists don't change.
Sure.
Because you're not online. The PlayStation 2's not online, is it?
No.
I think
not
so.
At all.
Well done.
Thanks, I got one out of four right.
They were hard.
But
they had like little bits of info.
Mm.
I liked it. Let's crack into the spoilers.
Spoiler alert. In 3, 2, 1. You have been warned.
Walking Dead or Good Place first? What do you reckon?
Dealer's choice.
I'm trying to remember what we did last week. Let's go Good Place.
Okay.
Yeah, start off high and get down to the nitty-gritty afterwards. So where did we leave last week? The Good Place left us.
Eleanor saw visions of what had happened.
She
with
had
her
the bald
Chidi.
Head. Yep. She'd just gone through all of that. This is where they go to Canada.
Yes, and it starts with a perfect recreation of the opening of episode of season 2 of Lost.
I was wondering that.
It was almost a shot for
I
shot recreation.
I saw an
recreation.
Article about it.
Okay, it was almost a shot for shot recreation of when Desmond wakes up in the bunker. And it's the idea of giving us a new character that potentially has more answers than the rest of our characters, and we're going to look to for guidance. Hmm. When we should not be looking to that person whatsoever, because they are not, they do not, they're just as human as the rest of us.
And we certainly found that out, didn't
Doug
we?
Doug Fawcett.
Wow. Radishes and lentils.
Never meet you and piss water.
Yeah. That's what I loved. I love Michael the way he just spat it out.
Doug was a really disappointing character.
Very
beautifully
disappointing.
Beautifully played.
Oh.
Michael McKean.
Yeah.
If you've never seen Best in Show.
He was in Laverne and Shirley as well, wasn't he?
Sure.
He was a neighbour.
He's
in heaps of stuff.
The Waiting for Guffman verse.
Yeah.
All those films.
Yeah. He's in so much. No, he was perfect in it. And of course that character had to be Canadian. Once you met him.
Oh, sorry. Here, take my shoe.
That's right. Take my shoe. Who was your best and fairest character?
Who had the
best game? For me, it was Janet in that bar fight scene.
Sure.
She won.
That was some Matrix type stuff of like being
so
able to touch
good.
The doorway and, oh, I know how to do. And apparently there's like a lot of different fight styles in that fight. Do you know who the fight, like the choreographer for the fight was?
Who?
The guy that did the Bourne movies.
You're joking.
Nope. So, like, complete with killing people with a rolled up newspaper and stuff like that. That's why there's that shot of her seeing the billiards frame and grabbing that and starting to smash.
That was amazing.
It's a shout out to the Bourne fight style.
That's cool. I was laughing the whole way through that.
It was such a swerve to go from like
so
this
good.
Deep philosophical unpacking of what could potentially be the best man on earth to suddenly be a bar fight between demons and a heaven robot.
I don't really know.
It's very difficult
very
to try.
Very confusing.
It was great to have Sean back.
Mm.
Slimy as always walks in there. Oh, you don't know me. I'm Sean. You're terrified of me.
Yeah, that's right. And Eleanor had a bit of a quick little chat with Cheaty.
Mm-hmm.
Which
I'm glad they're not stretching that out.
Yeah.
Crack on with that.
But that's how the Good Place is. They just get on with it.
Now they go into the void.
Yeah.
Did you notice at the very end there when they went into the void, it was a different sound? It wasn't the usual ding that happens when Janet goes solo. There's kind of different sounds that go on. So hopefully they don't break her void.
I'm so excited.
Do you think we will... Do you think at some point later this season they'll escape to a medium place or the medium place? Will we see Mindy Sinclair and Derek again?
Derek.
I really hope so.
I really want to see Derek again, but I'm just thinking if they're skipping to different places now, where else can they go?
It's really hard to try and predict where The Good Place goes simply because you don't know what the hell's going on. I don't think we're going to see an actual proper Good Place yet. No. Not this season.
Not this season.
No. Yeah, The Medium Place could get another go. I wouldn't mind seeing Maya Rudolph again.
I think we've got to get... I think the rest of this season... Because there's only like four more episodes left or something.
We've churned through.
Yes. I think a lot of these will be about getting Michael in front of the judge again, possibly with the accountant, who we've heard mention of but not seen who that is yet, and perhaps overthrowing the system in place or trying to find a way to get some change in the point system. Because if anything, Doug... showed us that it's there's the flaws. System flawed. It's not humanity that's flawed. It's the criteria that we're being held to is unattainable.
Yeah, so there, we can do whatever we like from now on until they fix that point score scheme. This, I'm expecting also a little bit more of Janet and Tahani sort of love triangle thing going on.
Sure.
Because at the moment, Tahani's completely oblivious to it, but we have seen Janet throw a couple of little comments out there.
Yep.
And, of course, they haven't been picked up by Tahani because she just doesn't know. But if we start to throw a few more little ideas in that, because I still quite like that love triangle.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's still got a lot of life in it.
So 2 points for me. One is that I think they made it clear enough because a few episodes ago when Team Cockroach or Soul Squad, whatever you want to call them, when they found out about what the actual afterlife was, that invalidated them from ever entering The Good Place because they knew the system working. Where I think because Doug only guessed 92% right, I think he still can get in. Mm. But then there's that conversation with Sean at the end where he talks about Doug and that he'll see them soon enough. That makes me think maybe Doug will still end up in the bad place.
I think everybody ends up in the bad place.
Yes, with this criteria question.
Yeah.
The other question is, does that mean that if we need to get to The Good Place, they have to take magic mushrooms?
Oh, man, I hope so.
Because if that's how Doug
got
there.
I want to see Cheaty on magic mushrooms.
I want to see if Jason is any different.
Imagine if he's just like the most clearest.
What else?
Clearest thought process going through and that we've ever seen.
So I feel like there was a couple of potential clues and probably a lot of red herrings in this episode, but this episode, more than any other, felt like pure Lost. It was good.
You had little...
Oh, it's a trip down memory lane for me. Took me back.
Moments of meeting your Lost friends again. All right, Walking Dead, and then we're probably done.
That's a lot.
I don't know. I still feel like The Walking Dead feels different without Rick.
Yeah.
It feels very different.
It's going to take a bit of adjusting with Rick, Carl, and Maggie gone.
So, and by the way, I did not like the reference to where Maggie is. I didn't like how it was approached.
So she's off with the van lady.
Oh, how's Maggie going? Oh, good. I've just read a letter from her.
She's off cross country. She took her son.
Why? You know what I mean? Like, it just, why?
She's off doing another show.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we know the why.
We know the
why.
It's
a very lazy why.
It's so lazy. So for me at this point in time, the storyline that, and I assume most people who are interested, we're interested in the Whisperers, not only finding out how they work, but also if you know a little bit about the Whisperers, you're way up on anybody in the show.
Correct.
They've got no idea. They think, I mean, they don't think yet. We'll probably hear from Rosita soon, but she thinks that the zombies are talking.
Everyone's going to think Rosita's crazy.
Hmm.
Until they see that or hear it happening themselves, everyone will dismiss that as a ridiculous notion.
Mm. I thought the beginning of this episode with her sort of wandering half stunned through the forest again, I thought that was a dream sequence. I thought that was after her and Eugene had come back.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously they'd heard the talking of the zombies. I thought that was just her brain trying to figure out what the hell had just happened.
Sure.
But it was real.
There was one shot in that was, from a technical standpoint, was very impressive. And I'm sorry to nerd out on it, but normally when you see a POV shot, it quite often there's a special chest harness and the rigging is harnessed to the chest. And that holds the camera, steady cam. And when you've seen shots of someone hurriedly running down the street and it's all shaking crazy, or a Prodigy film clip with someone that's out taking tons of drugs and stuff. Yeah. This did that, but put the camera on her back.
I saw that.
And I can't ever think of seeing a Steadicam shot above shoulder done that way.
She almost did a 180 as well with that.
But I can't think of another, especially not on television.
It did look different. It grabbed my attention. Mm. So it was, it must be pretty rare. Or maybe it's the beginning of it not being rare. This whole season I've been quite worried about the horses and walkers.
Sure.
Because, of course, I remember what happened to the first horse we ever met in The Walking Dead. Mm. It got eaten.
So why are you worried?
Well, there are so many horses and people who are from The Walking Dead, writers and that, they like things to die.
What about Daryl's new friend who's a dog?
I am so worried about dog. Damn. We've already had a bit of flagging.
Mm-hmm.
Where's dog?
Where is dog?
Dog. He hasn't eaten his food. It'll go cold, as if a dog will care. And then he's trapped. Dog's not going to last long. Dog has to be safe.
I don't know. Dog might end up being the Tyrion of this show. Of just the character you think is going to keep getting offed, but they're not going to.
He's the Tyrion. He doesn't drink and say things. He eats warm food and barks at things.
And retrieves zombie toes.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't know. Mm. Can you imagine the smell of that?
It'd be pretty rank.
Oh. So next week, I assume we'll see a bit more of the Whisperers. They've got to find Eugene.
Mid-season finale next week, isn't it?
Will we? Or have we got one more? Oh, no, you're right. I can't remember how many episodes. Yeah. It should be the last one.
Yeah, because Rick went in five.
Yeah.
We've had two more. So one more after that.
Yeah.
So next week, they'll track down Eugene and presumably have their first run-in with perhaps a whispering zombie holding a sword or a knife, I would wager.
Scurry.
If I was to guess how the episode will smash to black, it'll be a herd that they're fighting through and one of them will run holding a knife.
With a sword towards them.
Yeah.
Nice.
Something along those lines.
Looking forward to it.
Ooh.
I think we have well and truly done a whole entire episode.
Whew.
High five to us. And we will see you next week. Thanks, Tom.
Boop, boop, ba-da, boop.